Morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well. We've got some of our kids have seemed to have come down with something, so we're just leaving them home. Hopefully it's nothing or not too much. But we just quarantining them all just so that they don't bring you any bugs. So they're streaming right now. Streaming the service. So if you turn to Proverbs. Oh, not screaming, no streaming. You turn to Proverbs chapter 22, please. I'd just like to remind everyone, when you leave your vehicles here at the church, just to be sure that you leave them locked and that you don't leave any valuables in open sight. Last night we had another incident. We've had so many here. Someone was messing around with our SUV and they tripped our car alarm. So I bolted out the front door, jumped in the van, and drove around and boxed the Xterra in, but they were gone by the time I got there. And I did find a car that I have called in before that I actually followed this one woman a year ago after I had a air compressor stolen. And I gave her license plate to the police a year ago. I found her car again, just parked over here. So I'm pretty sure, and the police told me she and her car are a scourge, is what they told me a year ago. So just beware. I'm so thankful I had Brother Steve and Brother Joel, and my dad helped. We were working tore down our old fence, and we're putting up a new one. There's going to be a rolling gate coming in, and eventually, it's going to be like Fort Knox there. So I am so done with this. I was out driving around for an hour, 2:30 in the morning. It's not a bad idea. Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 4. Proverbs 22, verse 4. If you're able to, ask that you stand in respect for the reading of God's word. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, and we look at this area of humility and the fear of the Lord again. Dig deeper and deeper into it, and Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be humble people. That we would not be proud about our own selves. We would not be proud about our abilities. Lord, those are talents that you've given us. Any abilities we have are from you and you alone. Lord, we have no reason to be proud about anything that we have, whether it be possessions, whether it be intellect. Lord, it just comes from you. Help us not to be boastful people, whether it's even in our heart or if it's openly, verbally. And Lord, as we think about the fear of the Lord, that we would have a proper fear of you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts now. Be with any that are traveling to the morning worship service. We ask for safety. We ask for that you be with those who are sick and unwell and unable to be here. Pray for your hand on them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Again, I really believe that humility and the fear of the Lord are the two of the most critical things in the life of the Christian. If we are lifted up in pride about ourselves, who we are, our accomplishments, we will be lifted up against God. We will be lifted up against our fellow mankind. We need to always check our thought process about who we are so that not only internally do we have a proper understanding of who we are before God, but that we don't represent ourselves in a proud sort of way, whether it be in what we say or what we do. We don't build ourselves up. Rather, we build others up. We encourage people like, wow, you did an amazing job at that. Or, of course, it's got to be in truth. It's not flattery. I've mentioned before how my sister was involved in retail sales years ago, and she would work in this ladies' clothing shop, and there was people that would come and they'd try on something, then they'd ask my sister, "What do you think? How do you think this looks?" And my sister would say, "Well, you know, I think I've got something that might suit you a little better." And it wasn't a matter of trying to upsell. It was that she was speaking the truth, and that she had a great deal more sales. So when you think about pride and flattery doesn't go anywhere. Now, these other associates that my sister worked with, they would flatter people, and they would say, "Oh, that looks great," because they wanted the sale. And they would return. They'd come back. It would end up being returned, and it would. There was a tracking system of sales associates, what they sold, and so it reflected poorly on those that were actually dishonest. So we don't flatter somebody to build them up, but rather we encourage them in the way of the Lord. So when we think about our pride, instead of building ourselves up and saying, "Oh, I do so good at this, I do so good at that, and this," we look at others and we say, "Wow, you do a good, really good job at this." And sometimes maybe you might have to like sift through how they do, what they do, and in order to find something that they do well. Maybe they're at their point of life where they're not doing so well with certain things of life. But when you find something, latch on to that and encourage them and say, "You did such a good job here." And it will encourage them to do better. My point here is that we don't lift ourselves up. We don't tell people how good we are. Instead, we try to lift others up. And just like, I mean, it is different, very, very different, but you think about John when he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And essentially, that's the way it is with the believer. First and foremost, he must increase, I must decrease. But as we look around at others, we don't lift ourselves up. When we lift ourselves up, we usually step on someone else to push them down. And that has no place in the life of the Christian. So I encourage each one of us to check ourselves routinely for that. Again, I mentioned last week, it's kind of like checking for ticks. Every time you go out on a hike, you check for ticks in this area that we live. Well, on a routine basis, we need to be checking for that tick of pride, that it's not starting to lift itself up. Because good people, humble people, have become proud. We talked quite a bit about humility before God and how it's understanding our station before God, but it also speaks to our obedience, where we humble ourselves and say, "Lord, that's what you want me to do? I'll do it." We are obedient to his calling to us, to whatever it might be. It might be going to witness to that person. It might be to do with the bigger picture of what we do with our life. But we humble ourselves and are obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Then again, there is the humility before man. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Now, we shouldn't seek for honor, but just know that there's no shortcut to honor. We don't manufacture honor. We don't try to set the conditions so that people are going to honor us for what we do. We ought to be willing to do things so that no one will understand who did it. They will not know who did it. You've probably heard the story about Brother Gibbs when he was coming back. David Gibbs with the Christian Law Association came back one night and saw the lights in their building on, and he went in there. He's like, "Oh, someone left the lights on. I'll go in and turn it off." This is like 3 a.m. He goes in there and comes around the bend, and there's his receptionist on her hands and knees with a toothbrush, cleaning the area where I think it's where the baseboard met the wall. And she screamed, he screamed, kind of startled both of them. And he asked, "What is she doing?" And she said, "Well, the people that take care of the cleaning here, they don't catch this." And so she was cleaning it at a time when she thought no one would be around. And she said, "Please don't tell anybody about this." You know, we ought to have an attitude that's like, we'll do what's right. And we're not looking for recognition. We're not looking for the praise of men. What did Jesus say about standing on the corners and praying out loud and showing people that we're fasting, you know, with the haggard face? And Jesus said, no, you look respectable when you're fasting so that you're not making a spectacle of yourself. And Jesus said, they have their reward. Their reward's twofold. One, it's the here and now. It is short-lived. It is just the eye service of man. But two, it's for any believers that do things for the eye service of men, it is a loss of rewards. It's a negative reward. On that day of judgment, that would be considered wood, hay, stubble. Poof, it'll burn up. So before honor is humility. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Wouldn't you rather make yourself low, where you humble your own self, you humble your spirit before God and before mankind? Like Jesus said when he was talking about the upper room, and don't go into the upper room at a feast so that the governor of the feast say, excuse me, I need you to go down. Rather, go to the lowest level. And if perhaps the governor says, you know, he might come to you and say, friend, go up. And he would honor them, that person, in front of all those people, rather than dishonor them by sending them down. How embarrassing would that be? You think particularly of the pride and shame culture of the Middle East. How embarrassing that would have been to have been sent down from the upper levels of the feast down below. So before, honor is humility. Man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verses 17 through 19. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, and this is Paul speaking here, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, and after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. Notice verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and way of the Jews. Humility of mind, serving the Lord with humility of mind. As you do an evaluation on yourself, kind of a self-evaluation, are you serving the Lord with all humility of mind? Or does pride raise its ugly head, kind of like a multi-headed being where it pops up and pride takes over? Let's be a humble people. 100% of the time, and not a false pride, or sorry, not a false humility, where we're proud of our own humility. Okay, so going back to our text, so we read in this text about humility. We've looked quite a bit at that now. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Let's take a look now at the fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, it speaks of the duty of man is the fear of the Lord. So let's take a look there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13. I think I said 9, but I meant it is 13. So this is the second last verse of Ecclesiastes. And he says, you know, the whole book is where Solomon is looking for fulfillment, satisfaction in life. And then he says, well, let's hear the conclusion. He says, listen to the findings of my study. And this was somebody that had the means to test every theory. You and I don't have the means to test every theory. You know, last night in the evening, I was looking up at this aircraft flying in, and It had a nice sound. It was a nice looking aircraft. And I was like, man, I'd love to fly. You know, and that might be, in my mind, that might be, man, if I only could fly, if I only had an airplane, that would fulfill me, right? Well, Solomon, for what was there accessible to him, technology-wise, he had everything. He could test out his different theories. And what does he say is the end of the matter? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments. So we are to have a proper fear of God. The fear of God in its various forms, whether it be the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, it's mentioned over 300 times in Scripture. To me, that seems to be must be pretty important. If we have a proper understanding of the fear of the Lord, it will change our entire outlook on life. And if we live in the fear of the Lord, going beyond just our outlook, but actually living in the fear of the Lord, it will change how we live our lives. We could define the fear of the Lord as, and this is the definition that my father-in-law has come up with, an attitude of awe, obedience, and reverence towards God, reverential respect for God. So an attitude of awe, obedience, and reverence towards God, reverential respect for God. Take a look at some verses. Well, first, but before we do that, let's give you a definition by Noah Webster. The fear of the Lord is a holy awe or reverence of God and his laws. And that's critical, too, is in the keeping of his laws and the understanding of the sinfulness of sin, God's holiness, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character. A just view. You could even say like a proper view also. This world, there's so many people out there that have a conception of God in their mind that is not a proper conception. They have created their own God that they like. I read a quote somewhere by some supposed Christian that talked about how even Christians are offended by certain things that they read in the Bible. Excuse me? No true Christian ought ever be offended by something written in God's word. It might surprise us. It might create sorrow in our heart, sadness. You know, when we think about things like the punishment of sinners in the lake of fire forever and ever. We might look at a neighbor who has rejected Christ over and over and over. We might go, Oh man, that's so sad. Where they're going to go if they don't turn from their sins. But at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that God is divine. He is just. He is perfect. His will is always right. And that he will not do anything that's wrong. We can never be offended at God or his word. So, the fear of the Lord, again from Webster's, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and including them to aim at perfect obedience. So there is, the fear of God is that deep reverential respect of God, coupled with an understanding of his holiness, his hatred for sin, and how we ourselves have to have that same hatred for sin. And not just a blanket, warm, fuzzy sort of, nebulous hatred for sin. But we need to root out sin in our life, just like we do dandelions. I tried the other day to pull one out. I only got the top off. But we need to try to root those things out. And, sometimes Christians have pet sins in their life. And they seem to have this view that, oh, well, you know, I'm doing so good in these areas, it's okay to have this sin. It's not okay. We have to root them out, just like the dandelions. It's more than just a feeling or an emotion. It's an attitude. Some synonyms of fear: awe, dread, terror, trembling, apprehension, reverence. The fear of God is acknowledging who God truly is, what he has done, what he can do, what he will do. Some of his attributes. We think that we understand, and we think on the fact that he is holy, without sin. And not just without sin, but that he hates sin. He is righteous. He always does that which is right. He is just. He will not allow any injustice. He will not allow, in his own operations. There's injustice in the world all the time, and he allows some. Then he disallows some, and what he allows to occur will be punished at some point in time. The aggressors of that, the people that live by that rule. So he's just. He is not biased. He's mighty. He's a consuming fire. He's almighty. Think also of what he has done. He's done great and mighty works. We think on what he can do. He can cast into hell. Think about that. I mean, he's the gatekeeper. It's terrifying for the unsaved person. For the saved person, well, he can take the life of the believer that's living in unrepentant sin. And we have the example there in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit and to Peter and the apostles there. And it happens today. God still does that, where if a person is unrepentant and they truly have trusted Christ as their Savior, at some point in time, he may give them over to Satan, as the Bible says, for the destruction of the flesh. For they are destroyed. And I've known cases of where God has done that. I've used this before, but it's fear of God is similar to aspects of fear of water or fear of electricity. You know, where you know that something is useful, but it's also dangerous, right? You might have a gas stove, and you know that if you leave that burner on without having hit the igniter, you know, you can have that gas leaking through your home. You could perish. You could die from it. And yet, it's such a tool. You know, you could talk to Brother Morgan about electricity and how useful it is, and yet how dangerous it is. Water, you know, you can go fishing, you can go for a canoe ride, and yet so many people die by drowning. Just in the same way as we realize their great power and the danger, we also realize that those are resources for good. Well, we're to have a fear of God where we acknowledge his power and what he can do and what he will do if we fall into sin. At the same time, we understand his great love for us. Like it's a dual thing where you're balancing this. The love. He loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us with his consuming fire, We don't have a weakling for a God. A God that is a pushover. I mean, God so intensely loved King David, the apple of his eye, a man after his own heart. And yet he punished him. He punished him sorely for his sin. We need to have the same attitude as Job. You know, where he, and I'm paraphrasing this, where he said, though he kill me, I will still obey him, or I will still love him. I'm forgetting the actual wording there, but he had that attitude where, you know, he was going to serve him, even if God took his life. He was not going to curse God and die like his wife said. What are some of the effects of the fear of God? Well, one of the effects is hating all sin and every evil thing. No pet sins. Hating every evil thing. Let's take a look at Job chapter 1, verse 1. Testimony about Job, the man Job. Oh, just trying to find that verse in Job, the other one. But anyway, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed evil. Old word that we're not in the habit of using. Means to cast away something. He eschewed evil. Let's not be people that, on the outside, we dress nicely, we speak Christianese, and we sound like a Christian, we look like a Christian, and yet we have pet sins that we are culturing, that we are feeding. We have to hate every evil thing. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not just in others. It's so easy to do that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. We see pride in there again. God hates pride. It's one of the abominations listed in Proverbs chapter 6. We're supposed to hate it as well. And again, not just in other people. Don't just look at other, that person's proud. Man, I hate that. No, let's look at ourselves. Let's do an inventory. Okay, that's Proverbs 8:13. Also, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. You say, well, yeah, but I struggle with some of these sins. Well, here's an answer. Proverbs 6:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oh, wait a second. Here we find out one of the ways that we depart from evil. By having that fear of God. By knowing that he will punish us. There will be a day of reckoning. This isn't a matter of saying, well, I hope I can get away with this. No. We know that God knows everything, sees everything, hears everything. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. What did I say? Oh, okay, let's rephrase that. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So here we see one of the tools in departing from evil is culturing that fear of the Lord, the fear of God in our life. You probably have heard some, I don't want to go into details, there's stories that I could tell right now about situations that have happened in the lives of pastors, the lives of missionaries, Christian workers, just lay Christians in churches, that they've done great wickedness. And it all started when they started to have a lack of fear of God. When they forgot that they have a judgment day coming. Not just that, but even just having fellowship with God now. Do they not, when a person falls into sin, do they not value their fellowship with God? Their relationship with God? Do they not value that? We lose that when we fall into sin. We see the fear of God represented by the respecting of the sanctity of life. You know, we're told in Exodus chapter 1, verses 17 and 21, that the midwives who Pharaoh told to kill the Jewish male babies, or the Israelite male babies, it would have been called at that point in time, that they had a fear of God and that they would not do it. We also read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, that Moses' parents hid Moses because they had a fear of God. So respecting the sanctity of life, you think about in war times and how people have taken the lives of others. I'm thinking in certain cases where they've actually murdered people in cold blood. We're not talking war in its normal sense, but actually taking the life of an unarmed person. And they did it because, well, if they didn't do it, they would lose their own life or suffer some sort of consequence. A godly person would say, no, I will die before I do that. Having a respect for the sanctity of life. That's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why we strongly disagree with abortion and with euthanasia of seniors that you're starting to see in some of the European countries. The fear of the Lord, through the fear of the Lord, we treat all people with dignity. We treat people justly and compassionately. We obey God's commandments. Take a look at Deuteronomy 13:4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. But you know, for the believer, it shouldn't have to be out of fear. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we should be operating under a different code book. Instead of doing it and keeping his commandments because of the punishment, we should be saying, oh, I serve such an amazing, holy, sinless God. How could I, who's been cleansed from my sins, how could I go back to that to sin? I've been clothed with the robe of righteousness. How could I go and soil that thing? And how could I disrespect the one who died on the cross for my sins? So it ought to be out of love. But as a fail-safe, as a inferior sort of way to love, out of fear, where we say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to disrespect that person or whatever the case might be. because I have a fear of God, and I do not want to come in condemnation of him. So it's exemplified by obeying God's commandments. Also by praising and glorifying God. Let's take a look at Psalms chapter 22, verse 23. Psalms 22, 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. Praising and glorifying God. One of the ways to show that we have a fear of him. Again, it seems so strange if you think about it from a human perspective. We don't have the fear of this world. It's not that type of a fear. So we can have that deep awe and reverence for him, a hatred for sin, and praise him. Praise his name, praise his holiness, his goodness. Also, there's the matter of trusting God. Psalms chapter 115. Psalms 115, verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. For he is their help and their shield. So if we have a proper fear of God, we ought to trust in him. It's also the matter of the respect for God's word. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 66. You know, I mentioned how some get off that quote that some supposed Christian said that some Christians are offended by the word of God. Well, I'm offended that he's offended. When we have a proper fear of God, we need to respect his word. We need to tremble at his word. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all these things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And then dropping down to verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Tremble at his word. So we have respect, a deep respect that makes us more than just a hearer, but a doer of God's word. And we treat God's word with a carefulness, where we listen to it, we obey it, and even the actual, I mean, the printed page is not, the word of God, the actual printed page is made by man. We know that. This leather here has been put together, you know, by a man. But at the same time, we still ought to treat this book with great respect. I've got all of my Bibles since I was a kid. You might see Caleb wandering around with this big blue Bible. That's what I had when I was his age. I slept with it under my pillow for a time. You know, I cannot put God's word into a recycling bin. Let's treat it with respect. Let's tremble at his word. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, and Lord, we see that pride and the fear of God are so important in the life of the Christian, that they're incompatible. You cannot have the fear of God and have pride. You either have one or the other. Lord, help us to be humble people, filled with the fear of God. Help us to come to the conclusion, like Solomon did in Ecclesiastes, that the end of the conclusion is to fear God, keep his commandments. Lord, that we would experience then, of course, the joys and the privileges of the blessings that you give to those that fear you. Help us to hate sin in our lives, particularly, Lord, not looking at others and their problems, but in our own lives, Help us to look into the mirror through the word of God. We ask that you be with us as we go into our morning worship service, that you speak to our hearts. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.